take some time here to pray for the people in California and all the horrible things that they're going through. And it's just been horrible. If you've seen pictures on the TV there, let me tell you what's worse than what's happening to them. And that's if the problems get in them. Okay? And that's for all of us. No matter what you're going through, keep going and you'll get through it. Don't let the problems out here get within. There is a scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 that Paul prayed for people. And he said, I pray that they will be strengthened with might by your spirit in their inner being. That's what we need to pray for them. Can you imagine being in that situation and coming back, and I mean rubble, like a war zone, just rubble, okay? Well, you could see how that problem could really affect you on the inside big time. So we're going to pray that they'd be strengthened, and one translation says strengthened and reinforced by mighty power in their inner being, okay? Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I pray for these people that have suffered this horrible catastrophe. I pray that they would be strengthened with your mighty power in their inner being, that whatever is happening to them doesn't get in them, and you'll show them how to turn this around and be victorious and overcoming. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. Keep praying that. You can pray that for anybody. That's a good prayer to pray, even if you're not going through something. We need to be strengthened within. Okay, in about 1844. I know it was the middle 1800s. Somebody wrote a novel, and it was about the Three Musketeers. And from that, there's been television series, movies, and all that. All right, somebody tell me, what was their famous motto?
All for one, one for all.
Thank you. All for one and one for all. That is the title of my message. All for one and one for all. Here's my main theme I want to get over to you. If we want to receive consistent guidance and empowerment from God, and we need that. We need it consistently. What do you mean? We always need to come to God and say, okay, Lord, now what? Even if you think you know what the now what is, he knows better. Now what should I do? That's what they're going to be dealing with in California. Now what? That's guidance. God will guide us, okay? He has promised to guide us and empower us, because sometimes we'll look at something and we'll say, I can't do that. I know this is what I need to do, but how? God has promised to guide us and empower us. So if we want that on a consistent basis, then we must fellowship and work with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and realize what they each represent. Okay? Last week, I talked about if you want consistent guidance and empowerment from God, we must develop a close, intimate, marriage-like relationship with God. And I gave you a scripture in Isaiah that says your maker is your husband. Whoa. Well, if you're going to have a good marriage, it takes two. And I gave you scriptures that shows he's a good husband. So what we need to do is be a good wife, so to speak. And the way you do that is you take God at his word. The Bible says he has no greater joy than to be believed, than to be trusted. Now, the Bible doesn't quote it like that. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But basically what he's saying is, I have no greater joy than to know you trust me. Okay? And so the more we take God at his word, we're developing a good marriage relationship with God, and great things can happen. Now, I want to take it a step further. We need to fellowship and work with the entire Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and realize what each one represents. So we're going to put it up here on the screen here, one at a time. We're going to take God the Father, okay? God the Father gives us the plan and the path we are to follow that is based on biblical principles, or you could say the Word of God. That comes from God the Father. He makes the rules. Just remember that when you hear people say God is sovereign, and He is, but that does not mean He does what He wants, when He wants, no matter what. That is incorrect. God goes by His Word. And when He puts His Word down, He keeps it, even if it goes contrary to what He had planned. Okay? He keeps His Word. Where God is sovereign is, He makes the rules. He makes the rules. If you play Monopoly, okay, there's rules that you need to go by. I've said this before, it bears repeating. We used to like playing Monopoly a lot. And so I was sitting next to my friend, and he kind of whispered to me without anybody else realizing what was going on. I guess they were distracted. And here's what he said to me. He said, now we were just kids, okay? He said, Gary, I'm going to be going out pretty soon here. I don't have much money left. I'm going to have to get out, so I'm going to give what money I have left to you. And I thought, well, man, that's awfully nice. And so he did, under table, you know, say, no, you're all so serious. This is a game. Okay, okay. And we're kids. Okay. So he did that, and that started me on a life of crime concerning playing Monopoly. After that, I just got the biggest charge of seeing how well I could cheat. You know, why am I saying all this? Because I'm telling you, God makes the rules. I was going contrary to the rules. And I just did all kinds of things. I'd try to steal little houses and put them on my thing. I'd tell you how good I was. I was playing Monopoly with this, there was a number of us there, but there was this one girl, and I kept landing on her property. Well, you know, if you play Monopoly, when you do that, you're supposed to pay them money. I kept landing on her property, and I had her convinced that she needs to pay me. Now, brother, you got to be a good crook to do that, okay? Anyway, okay. Now, that's the last time. That was my life of crime, but it's just with Monopoly. Everything else, I try to live an honest, godly life. Okay. God makes the rules. That's what it means. God makes the rules. As long as we go by His rules, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. But we need to cooperate with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and understand what they represent. So God starts with the Word. He has given us the plan and the path of His Word that we are to follow. Be governed by what His Word says. That's where biblical principles come in. So I need to ask myself, does what I do, is it backed up by the Bible? What I want to do, is it backed up by the Bible? Okay? That's the part that God the Father does. That's what He represents, the Word. Number two, God the Son paid the price for us to have authoritative privilege. This is huge. A lot of Christians don't realize that God has given you authority. Not to do what you want, when you want, where you want, but He has given you authority about what the Bible says you have authority over. And so it'd be like somebody coming in here and they're crying, and I'm saying, what's wrong? He said, I don't know what to do. I need to go somewhere, and my car won't start. And while they're saying that, I don't have my keys on me. And while they're saying that, they're showing their keys. My car won't start. Well, did you tried to start it? No, I didn't try it at all, and these are the keys, but it won't start. Well, I guess not. I prayed to God that He would start the car. No. And that's how a lot of Christians are. They're praying for God to do this. And there's a lot of times when God is saying, you do it. I gave you authority. We're going to back all this up by the Bible. I didn't say over everything. I didn't say about what you want, when you want, where you want, how you want. It's based on the Word. That's why that has to come first with God the Father. But then there's authority that you need to learn. I'll give you, we talk about keys. You know what he said? I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth and declare to be improper, if it's in line with the Bible word, heaven will back you up. And whatever you loose, he's given us authority. And whatever you loose, okay, declare to be proper, heaven will back you up. Wow, he's given us authority. So I need to fellowship with that. Lord, show me what I need to do here. Show me what I need to do. Show me my part, Lord. You have God-given authority. Number three, the Holy Spirit has given us power to prevail. He is our partner. He is our partner. God the Father, okay, gave us the Word. God the Son gave us the authority. God the Holy Spirit is our partner that gives us the ability so that we don't have to say, I just can't do it. Well, of course you can't in your natural being. If you could, then Jesus died on the cross for nothing. You don't have to do that. I can take it from here. No, you can't. There are certain things we can do. Sure, we can. But you can only go so far. With God, it's unlimited. So the more I fellowship around the Word, the authority, and the power, that's the Father, that's the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the more I'm laying the groundwork to get consistent guidance and consistent empowerment. I got 2 points to this message. Here's the first one. That was my theme that I gave you before there. Okay, this is my first point. Taking 5 steps will help us fellowship and work with the entire Trinity more easily. Taking 5 steps. Okay, how do I fellowship with God the Father? How do I fellowship around the Word? How do I do that? How do I fellowship with God the Son and about the fact that he has given me authority? You have authority. How do I fellowship with the Holy Spirit, who is my partner and has given me ability, power? Okay, and you have it. You might not feel like it, but you have it. Okay, all right. How do I do that? 5 steps. We're going to put them all up on the screen. Here you go. Number one, take time. Take time. I'm going to give you something that I just learned this week. Lord, it was powerful. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready.
Ready.
Okay. A lot of times you'll hear people say, oh, I'm putting in, you know how many hours I put into that? You know how many hours I'm working a week? You know, I'm putting in 60-hour work. They always talk about how much time they're putting in to something. They're always talking about how many hours they're putting in. And you know what's more important? What are you putting in your hours? Did you get that? How many hours I'm putting in? Well, you might be putting in a lot of hours doing fluff. What are you putting in your hours? What am I doing to put something of value in my hours? Well, I prioritize my life with a schedule. I prioritize my schedule. You know what's better? Schedule your priorities. Lord. It is good. Thank you, God. Thank you. Those are powerful truths. Schedule your priorities. Why? Because life will show up and all of a sudden you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing, and it's not doing anything for you other than keeping you busy. And you have to make a decision. Am I gonna be satisfied with being busy or being productive? To do that, you got to make sure you're putting things into your hours, into your day, that you're prioritizing your schedule. Okay, that's all free. Okay, hallelujah. So the first thing you do is you take time. Number two, you got to slow down. You got to slow down. And what I mean by that is slow down on the inside. You know, you can be slow on the outside and still be a bundle of nerves on the inside. Okay? Need to slow down on the inside. Slow down. If you want to fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and what they represent, the word, the authority, and the power, I have to take time and slow down. Number three, I have to get still. There's a difference between slowing down and getting still. All right, I slowed down. Now you get still. Now you get to a stop. You have to take time every day, not every other day, every day, just like you take time to go to sleep. I hope you do, okay? You take time to eat. You need to take time to get still before God, okay? All right, did you get those three? All right, number four, focus on the right things. These are the five steps that will help you fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and what they represent. Focus on the right things. That's why you need to get still. It gives you an opportunity where you're going to detach from all the junk that's going around and attach yourself to God. Well, yeah, but this is what I got to deal with this. That's okay. All right. Detach from it enough to get attached more to God so that you, when you have to reattach to the things in the world, you come back renewed. Okay? And you do that by focusing on the right things. And then number five, okay, you have to drink in spiritually. Spiritually, drink it in. And I've talked about this before. I need to bring it up again because nobody's preaching about this, and it's extremely important. I need to spiritually drink in. Drink it in. Drink it in, just like you do when you have a good meal and you, oh, man, what are you doing? You're soaking it up. There's nothing like it, especially if you're hungry and you eat something. Oh, this is so good. How did you make that? Oh, okay, we need to do that with the Bible. Well, I can't do that with the Bible. Yes, you can. God will never tell you to do something that you can't do. And we need to drink it in. We'll back all this up with the Bible. All right, Psalm 46:10. Be still, calm down, know, and stop striving that God is God. He said, I'll be exalted among the nations and the heathen. I'll be praised and exalted in the earth. I'll be honored throughout the whole world. Well, for that to happen, I need to get still and cooperate because the Bible says we are laborers together. God has a part to play. We have a part to play. I know I've said this many times. God won't do our part. We can't do his part. He won't, we can't. But together, miracles can happen. Okay? Miracles can happen. God said, be still and know I'm God. Not your problem. Not this heartache. Not this sorrow. Not this lack. Not this. That's not God. And we all experience some kind of defeat now and then. Okay? It's one thing to experience to defeat, okay? But if you give up, now you made it permanent. Don't give up. Don't give up. Everybody has defeat. That can be temporary. Defeat can be temporary as long as you don't give up. Lord, that's good. Okay, all right, okay. So be still. Now, listen to what he says here in John 7:37. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. That's why I'm saying you have to drink these things in. You have to take time just like you do after a good meal. And you, oh, that was good. Okay. Oh, that was good. We need to do that. If any man is thirsty, if you're in need, if you have a desire to get this or get that or have this change or have that change, you're thirsty. Okay? God said this. If you're thirsty, take time to drink, and here's what will happen. Out of your innermost being, there'll be like rivers of living water come. What's he saying? He said, the answer will come from within. You know what we always do? We're looking for the answer out here. Now, you know, especially if you have a problem out here, you'd like that to change, whether it's a physical pain, a financial challenge, whatever. Sure, you want that to change out here. But God works from the inside out, not the outside in. He works, and so does the devil, by the way. He tries to get you messed up by giving you wrong thoughts and wrong feelings. Wrong thoughts and wrong feelings lead to the wrong actions. God does the same thing. In fact, the devil got this from God. He just perverts everything that God has done. God gives you good things on the inside. so that it can change the things on the outside. So no matter where you're at in life, no matter where you've been, no matter where you think you're headed, it all starts by getting the right things on the inside through the Word, the authority that you have, and the ability that the Holy Spirit has made available. If you don't do that, okay, then we look for an excuse, and we play the victim. And anytime we play the victim, we don't lay the groundwork to be victorious, okay? So I need to take these five steps, and I need to say, okay, I'm going to take the time to slow down, to get still, to focus on the right things, and to spiritually drink in what the Father has said, what Jesus has made available authoritatively, and the power by the Holy Spirit. Okay, here's my second point. So those were the five steps. Here's my second point. Miracles happen more easily when we are experiencing the peace of God. Now, you know, God can do anything. But basically, if you want it consistently where he's empowering you and guiding you, it happens as you experience his peace. His peace. His peace precedes his power. So just like physical exercises affects us physically, if we will take the time to mentally, emotionally, and spiritually exercise, we will be changed internally. And that is huge. That is huge. But we got to exercise it. We got to exercise it. So in other words, staying focused on God, drinking up what the Word says, the authority that we have, the ability that God has given us through the Holy Spirit, drink it up. How do you do that? By saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stay focused on it. When you do that and you realize God is always working on your behalf, the Bible says he's at the right hand of God right now, praying for us. If anybody knows how to pray, it's Jesus. He's praying for us. So, well, how come I don't see it? We have to cooperate. Remember, we labor together. How do I cooperate? I believe it. Thank you for praying for me, Jesus. Thank you for praying for me. When we continually do that, because God's always working for us, he's helping us to stay in peace. You know what happens? All of a sudden, we'll begin to notice, that's a key word, notice opportunities that have been working for us all the time to help us, but we didn't see it before because we were caught up with our problem, caught up with this heartache, caught up with this pain. And I'm not trying to be not compassionate. Those things are real. But the best way to overcome it is to focus on, in fact, Jonathan said it while he was up here. Jesus looked beyond the cross to what was lying ahead of him. He looked, that's what you got to do. No matter what you're dealing with, and it might be harsh, it might be hard, it might be terrible, you wish it never happened. Okay? All right? Don't stay there. Don't look beyond that. Look beyond that. Look beyond that. God's got greater things for you. It's not over. I studied music in college, you know, and I wanted to be an opera singer, believe it or not. And so they used to have a saying, it's not over until the fat lady sings. And they that referring to opera, okay? Well, let me tell you, brother, it's not over until God says it's over. And if we're all breathing, which I think we are. Okay, we're all breathing here, so it's not over. God's got good things for us. God's got good things for us. So hang in there and focus until you calm down and you're being still and you're at peace with God. All right, let me give you some scriptures to back that up. Hebrews 5:14 says, by reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern or distinguish good from evil. And then Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. All right, now here's what I want you to get. When it says here, by reason of use, he's talking about when you're mature, then you exercise your senses. And by you using your senses, you're able to distinguish between good and evil. Well, that's a principle. It's not just pertaining to good and evil. It's pertaining to what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's a good decision, what's a bad decision. How do I don't know what to do. I'm faced with this. I don't know what to do. you need to exercise your senses on a daily basis so that you'll be able to know what to do. The more I exercise internally, the more I'll be able to distinguish what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's best, what's the best way to go, what's the good not way to go. See, you'll be able to distinguish if every day you take time to focus on God. Every day you take time to get still. Every day you take time to slow down. Every day you're focusing on the right things and spiritually drinking it in by saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. See, listen, look at it this way. When God made Adam, you know what he said to him? He said, I want you to have dominion over the earth. What was he saying? That's a fancy way of saying, I put you in charge. Okay. Over everything. Animals, fish, the earth, and all that. Now, it's one thing to take charge over your cute little poodle or your cute little kitty cat. But if you've got an elephant, you're going to need more than some physical muscle there, Bubba. Okay. How's he going to do that? He had dominion on the inside. He had dominion on the inside. He had dominion on. So it's the same. It hasn't changed. It's the same thing with us. God has given it. And as long as we're out to seek first his kingdom. See, you have to be careful when you start talking like this. Everybody thinks they're Superman, okay, without God. You're only Superman with God, okay, type of thing. As long as I'm doing my best to honor him and stretch his kingdom, get more people to come to him, God says, okay, because he said it, seek first my kingdom. Then all these things will be added to you. As long as I'm doing that, boy, you can be a powerhouse of good for a lot of people. But we have to exercise our senses, and we have to realize God has given me his peace. Now, I need to get that in my mind. Otherwise, you're going to try to stir up your peace with willpower. Okay, I'm going to get peaceful. I'm going to get peaceful. I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. No, no. It's the peace of God that comes as you drink in his word. His word that says, I've given you my, I'm not going to give you. You've got it. Now, you might not be using it, but you've got it. So what do? You say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Okay. Now, having said that, and I've given this to you before, so we're going to give you another visual aid because this is so, I don't hear anybody preaching on this. And it is crucial. It is fundamental for walking into all that God has for you. He's given us, here's my visual aid. He has given us the word. God the Father has given us his word. He's given us the plan and the path that we are to follow, which are biblical principles. That means, what does the Bible say? What is it? So that's over here. You got that? Okay, that's over here. Okay, he's given us the word. Over here, he's given us how to take those words and help it make it work for me. Okay? All right? So what I'm going to give you is over here, and then I'm going to give you back over here some words that you need to use to get over here. But they both need to work together, okay? So here's what I'm going to give you over here. Here's how you make God's word, the authority, and the ability work for you. It's Job 29, okay? Catch this. This is powerful. 21 through 23. We're going to give it to you in three slides, okay? Now, this is Job talking, but you can take this. When you read the Bible, don't just take it for what it is saying at that moment, but there's a principle behind it that can go beyond just that moment. So this is something that Job said about how his friends looked at him. They came to him for advice, and this is how they did it. But you can take this for God. Job is talking when he says, to me, people gave ear and listened eagerly, expectantly, and carefully as they waited and remained in silence for my counsel. All right? Well, you can say that about God. Okay? Would you like direction? Remember, he came to empower us and to guide us. Guide us and empower us. Okay? Okay. That scripture is over here. Okay. Well, how does that happen? I have to give God not only my ear, that's what I hear, but listen. You know what the difference is between hearing and listening? Listening is you really want to hear. You're not just, oh, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Okay, no. I want to hear. Okay. Give God your ear and you listen earnestly. expectantly. God's going to show me. God's going to show me. And carefully, that means don't get distracted. Okay? Okay? As you wait on God, okay, hearing eagerly, expectantly, as they waited in silence. Okay? Did you read that? They listened eagerly, expectantly, and carefully as they waited and remained in silence for my counsel. God, you're going to show me what to do. You're going to show me. I'm waiting eagerly, expectantly. I'm going to be quiet about it so I can get your counsel or your advice. I need to know what you're going to do. Okay? Okay? Remember that. That's over here. Okay? Now look at the next part of this verse because the next part of this verse goes with what's over there. Watch. After my words, they did not speak again and had nothing to add, and my words dropped and settled upon them like drops of rain. So let's just say you need direction, or you need healing. You need something more than just information to drop on you. You need power. You need something to help, and you're in pain. God says, watch what he says. He says, after you wait in silence for me to touch you or give you direction, after my words, what words? Whatever the Bible says about what you're facing. Are you facing a need to be touched physically? What does the Bible say? Okay. Are you needing direction? What does the Bible say? That's the words over here. After my words, so what do? I take those words. Here's what the Bible says. He promised to heal me. Here's what the Bible says. He has already given me peace. I know I'm nervous. I'm scared. But I'm going to take that. After my words, so that means you focus on those words. Notice I'm over here in Job, okay? But I focus on those words, that's what he says. After my words, they spoke not again. Right? Did you read that? After my words, they spoke not again and had nothing to add. Well, I know the Bible says that. But, you're adding something. Don't add. Well, I know the Bible says this, but you don't know my brother. You don't know my wife, my son, my children, my boss, my school teacher. You don't know. You're adding something. After my words, don't add. Now watch. Don't add anything to it. If you'll do that, my words, his advice, his counsel, will drop and settle on you real gentle, like rain. You know, when Jesus was baptized in the water there and he came up, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Okay, didn't say it was a bird, but the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Notice it didn't say like a hawk. God's a gentleman, okay? He's gentle. He's very, very powerful, but very gentle, okay? So you need direction. You need to be touched by God. Take what the Bible says and let those get in your mind and think on it. Drink it up. And while you're doing it, don't add to it by making an excuse. And if you'll do that, all of a sudden, something's going to settle on you. I know what to do. I know what to do. And it's going to come from within, not out here. I know what to do. Or maybe you need a physical touch. And all of a sudden, and boy, if you've ever literally physically experience the touch of God, it's very, very real. It's not just a mental positive thing. It's a very real thing. But if I need to just take time. Now, this next part of the scripture, my point is, God's power will descend on you, gentle, like drops of rain. I know what to do. Woo! I remember we led a person to the Lord in the church I was raised in, and she got sick with something. And she'd been hearing about God will heal you, you know. And so she remembered that. She took that to the Lord, and she said, Lord, and I think she was getting ready to regurgitate, which is a nice way of saying throw up. And so anyway, see, she was getting ready to do that, and all of a sudden she remembered that verse, and she began to pray, and I'll never forget it. She said she felt something, and you know how she responded? Oh, boy, here it comes, and she got it. She physically felt something. God will do that. He'll drop it on you. Now, this next part of this verse that's in Job, remember, this is Job over here, okay? Next part of this verse tells you how to wait because he says, they waited for me in silence, waiting for my touch, waiting for my advice. I'm giving you this because we need to remember, we talked about take time, slow down, get still, focus on the right thing, and drink it in. Drink it in. That's what I'm zeroing in on. Drink it in. Okay, drink it in. All right, this next part of this Job verse tells you how to wait on God. Now watch. Watch what it says, right? Watch it say. They waited for me. See, they're waiting on God. They're waiting for counsel. They're waiting for a touch. They waited for me as for the rain. We have to realize that was an agricultural society. If you're going to grow crops for a living, brother, you'd better have rain, okay? So what are they? They're expecting. They're waiting on God. It'll come. It'll come. Watch. And they open their mouth wide as for the latter rain. Well, that's when, you know, it's getting close to harvest time. Now, and, you know, don't take that too literally. It's okay. It's okay. But don't let it trip you up about opening your mouth wide. What he's trying to say, let it affect your emotions while you're waiting on God. Like, now let me tell you, boy, that's exactly, I took that verse, and that's how God literally baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I start praying this different language. I said, whoa, nobody was around. I was by myself in my mom and dad's living room there, because I was young, mom and dad's living room them in front of a fake fireplace. God didn't mind that. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden that happened because of that. This is what God's got for us if we'll take time, slow down, get still, focus on the right thing, and drink in these words that you're learning. See, I'm giving you a lot of words. I'm about to give you a lot more. But then it won't do anything good without putting Job into it, okay? Job 29. All right. So let me give you some words to live by. They won't all be up here, but they'll be on your handouts, okay? Remember, we're talking about what does God the Father represent. All right, get his word in. That's foundational. The word. All right, so let me give you some. All right, John 6:63. The word, God says, the words that I give you are spirit and they are life. What does that mean? You could say it this way. God's word is a spiritual force of energy. It is real. God's word, if we will drink it. You know, I get tired sometimes after these sermons, you know, because it's a lot of physical thing here. Okay, if we'll take his word and then drink it. It's like a spiritual force of energy, just like I told you the first time. I didn't know it was an electric fence, and we were visiting somebody there, and they had cattle, and I was good, and I touched it. Oh, buddy, yeah, you'll feel that. Didn't see it. I couldn't see it. I sure felt it, Bubba. Okay? Yeah. God's word is a spiritual force of energy. That's over here. Okay. That won't do you any good if I don't drink it in and say, I've got his word. It's going to do the work. God is going to give me the guidance. He's going to give me the empowerment. I've got God because God said it. Okay? All right? Let me give you another verse. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Okay? That's the word. I got to get it over here. It's going to work. It's going to work. It is working. It's energizing, and it's effective. All right, let me give you another scripture. Jeremiah 23:29. These are all on your handouts. They're not up there, but they're in your handouts. Is not my word like a fire that burns and like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of the most stubborn resistance? How am I going to make that work? That's the word over here, okay? How am I going to make that work for me? I got to put Job to it. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've got some stubborn resistance that's going on, even if I'm the stubborn one. But your word's going to break that stubborn streak in me. It's going to break it in her, in this problem. You got to drink it in, all right? Let's give you another scripture. Matthew 4:4. These things won't work unless you're wanting to make this your lifestyle for everything and not just when you have a problem. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how I'm supposed to live. I don't just get serious about taking this word and drinking it in when I have a problem. I need to live that way. Now, this will help me once I get it all in. I'm talking about the character of the word now. Watch what it says here. Titus 1:2, God can't lie. Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for God to lie. Jeremiah 1:12, God is alert and watching over your word, over his word, to see that it comes to pass. That's the character of his word. I'm giving you things here that can change you on the inside that will affect your outside if you apply it, okay? So once I get the character of his word, he can't lie. It's impossible to him to lie. God's watching over it. Then I can apply Mark 9:23. All things are possible to them that believe. Oh, wow. It's possible. But remember what believe means. It means adhere to or stick to, stick with, trust in, cling to, rely on. It's more than just mental agreement. And that takes time. That's why I'm saying you've got to take time, slow down, get still, focus on the right things, and drink it in. You drink it in by saying thank you a lot. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. This is what you said. You can't lie. It's impossible for you to lie. You're watching over this word that I'm believing to see that it happens. And so I believe. I believe. I'm going to stick to it, stick with it, trust in it, cling to it, rely on it. Lord. I get excited about all these things. Okay. So having said that, let's get back a little bit to what I said about the Father is the one that gives you the plan and the path to follow. Psalm 119, 105. This is the word. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to hear something funny? I know you do. All right. So growing up, I don't know where I got this idea. I know where I got the first one. I don't know where I got the second one. Okay. I wanted to be 6 foot tall, but only have a size 8.5 shoe. I don't know where I got that. Okay. I never made 6 foot tall, but now my feet are 10. One grew, one didn't. Okay? God still loves me. Hallelujah. Has nothing to do with this message. Just thought I'd share that with you. Okay, so a lot of times we just need to say, well, God, what's my next step here? Yeah, that's where I got it. He said, I'll give you enough direction for your next step, your next foot. See, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the word. Okay, for that to work, I got to put Job to it. Thank you, God. You'll give me at least the next step. Where I put my foot down, you'll give me the next step. You'll give me the next step. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, this is a powerful one. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding or rely on your own insight and wisdom. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Think about what he wants. Think about what he wants. Think about what he wants. And he will direct, make straight, and plain your path. What? Your path. See, God wants to help you with your path. But it's wound up in the word that you drink in. That you slow down. That you get still. That you focus on and drink in. Okay? All right. All right, so that was God spent a lot of time here because the word is foundational. Even if you were to get some miraculous gift from God, if you put that ahead of the word, you're going to run into trouble. You're going to run into trouble. Always, 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 always put his word first. Always, okay? All right, so let me go now to Jesus, all right? Look at this in John 16:23. Whatever you shall ask the Father in my name and as my representative and presenting all that I am as my representative, he'll give it to you. When I pray in the name of Jesus, I'm presenting Jesus, not me. What would you think if you came up here and I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And I say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Gary, I pray. You'd say, we better get out of here. This guy's bad news. No, I don't do that. But a lot of times that's how we act. We're trying to do things in our own ability. God says, no, no, no. You've got authority, but it's when you present what I've done. I'm not perfect, but he is. I can't do this, but he can. I don't know what to do, but he does. So what do? I take that word that says, ask in the name of Jesus. I combine it with what the Bible says in Job, and all of a sudden, the authority takes place. Thank you in Jesus' name. thank you in Jesus' name. I believe it. I believe it, and it will show. Thank you in Jesus' name. Get in the habit of doing that in Jesus' name. Now, just to show you that the early church had this down, Acts 3, verse 6, Peter and John are on their way to pray the temple, okay? And there was a man there begging for money who had never walked before. He was 40 years old, a cripple, and he was begging for money. Now, catch this. This is something I learned. Peter stopped when the beggar saw him. He looked at them, hoping to get money from them. And Peter had to say, "Stop! Look on us! Look at us!" You know why he said that? You know why I believe he said that? Because it can almost sound like, "Well, boy, you're kind of stuck on yourself. Look at me. How would you act?" And I said, "Look at me." Okay. The only reason I would have an authority to do that is if you're looking at every place else. And that's what I think this guy was doing. I think he was in this temple. People were coming left and right. "Hey, you got anybody? Hey, could you have any money? Can you spare some money?" And he had to get his attention. "Stop that. Look here for a minute." And that's why he said, "Look at us." He was just trying to get him to focus and not be distracted by everything else. Okay, now watch. Here's what Peter said. "Silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I got something. I got something, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name," or the authority, "of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter knew he had it so much, the Bible says he went down there and he grabbed him by the hand and he lifted him up, and the Bible says immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength and he followed them walking and leaping and praising God. Now, you talk about a miracle. If you've never been able to walk before, all right, let's just say you get a miraculous healing, but still, those muscles need to be strong. There needs to come, that usually takes time. Well, you can just throw time out the window with this miracle, brother. He not only got touched from God, boom! He was ready to go. Just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. And what did Jesus say? "The works that I do shall you do also. And greater works, because I'm going to my Father." So what did he do? He said, "I'm going to pray in Jesus." And he believed it so much, he acted on it. He could have said, "Okay, see if anything happened. You feel anything yet? Okay. Try to move your foot a little bit. Move something." Now, he grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. Dear God. I don't know at what point the strength came, but it came. And it was because he exercised authority. I remember hearing a preacher say this. He was going through something. I forget what it was, but he was crying. He pulled up to a house. That's what it was. It was a family member. They were going through a lot of things, and he pulled up, and he was getting ready to go in and visit them and help them and pray with them and all of this, and I remember he was crying, and he said, "Lord, when are you going to do something? When are you going to do something?" Just like a lot of us. When are you going to do? And he felt like he heard God say, "When are you going to do something about it? I've given you authority. When are you going to?" Boy, he went in there and he went into that place and began to pray with authority. Things change when you know you've got authority and you use it. Okay, I'm almost done. The Holy Spirit is our partner. All right, so we talked about the importance of the word and the authority that need to be mixed with drinking it in. Okay, Job, okay? Waiting on God and drinking it in. Okay, now let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." What does that mean? Don't try to do things in your own strength. Don't do that. Don't do that. Remember this verse. Lord, it's not by my might. It's not by my power, but it is by your Holy Spirit. And so you drink it in. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm depending on your power. I can't do this, but you can. All right, one last verse. Acts 1 and 8. Now catch this. "You shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might. Does anybody need that? Power. What does that mean? Ability, efficiency, and might. Force. Okay. Now catch this. This is what you got to catch. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes within you. And that's good. He's in you now. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit's in you now. But there's a difference between the Holy Spirit coming within and the Holy Spirit coming upon. And it's just like if you were to read the Old Testament about the prophets Elijah and Elisha, they would have a cloak a lot of times that they wear, and they'd put that cloak on them, and it was to signify that the Holy Spirit was coming upon them, okay, to do whatever they were going to do. And they did some mighty works. I was in Coburn's the other day, and there was a guy there who checked me out. His name was Elijah. And I said, you know, you've got a good name. And I said, do you know about the Elijah in the Bible called fire down out of heaven? He said, yeah. I said, have you ever tried that? And you know what he said? Yeah, when I was a kid, I tried that. That's what he said. Oh, good. At least he's trying. Hallelujah. Now, here's my point. There have been times when I can honestly say, because I took the word and I drank it up, okay, type of thing, I'd feel that word come upon me like that. That word come upon me. Everyone could use that. It makes a difference. What do you got, Jonathan? You look like you got something good here. All right. I get it.
But I was back there, and I was having a little bit of a hard time with the visual aid myself. And you guys may have gotten it right away.
But then it clicked. All of a sudden. And I was like, man. And I wrestled with, do I do this? I don't want to interrupt his sermon. And then I was back there, and Aaron was like, how long are you going to hold that coffee pot? But it clicked, and I thought, if this helps somebody with what he's saying, I think this will drive in the point. Anybody a coffee person in here? Anybody, you need your coffee first thing in the morning to get going? My wife has signs all over the kitchen, says, no coffee, no worky. You know, coffee and Jesus, all this stuff. I mean, like, you know, when you have two small kids, coffee goes to another level. Long story short, it clicked. All of a sudden, what he was saying, you said, you got the word of God over here. It's our coffee, right? This is what gets you going, what gives you energy, what gets you going in the morning, what gets you started, what you need on the inside of you, okay? But this does no good just like that. That's not going to get enough. And it could even come upon me, like he said, and that's one thing. I'd be warm if I had a trip backstage and that would have come upon me. Warm and wet. But in order for that to get in me, the vessel that he was talking about, put it through Job. That does me no good unless he's talking about drinking it in spiritually. Unless I put it through, like I said, that's leaning back over here. Now, Job, that scripture he's talking about is the vessel. He's saying, put it through that. To get God's word on the inside of you, realize this principle in Job. And use that to take God's word and get it on the inside of you. Amen. So that spiritual force can do what it's supposed to do.
Excellent.
Amen.
I actually gave him that idea. No, I'm kidding. I didn't give him that idea. That's all him. Hallelujah. Very, very true. That verse, I don't hear anybody preaching on that verse in Job. And I think it just needs to be combined with all of the other things. It's all important, you know. And when you do, and that's good. That's a good illustration. It's got to get in. It's got to get in. And to do that, you got to take time. You got to slow down. You got to get still. You have to focus on the right thing, and drink it in, and drink it in. There you go. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. We're going to worship God a little bit here. This is wonderful. That's good, Jonathan. That was excellent.
Will cry.